Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. I'm bringing Scott Kochenour on the show, and I am so thrilled to have him on. I mean, since we've last worked, he's done quite a few things. He's got a platform launching for his company. He's got a podcast he launched. He's working on an upcoming book with Mission Matters, and I'm thrilled to publish his content and get into what the fourth quarter coach is doing. If you don't know what the fourth quarter coach means or is, you're in for a treat. But we will start this with just saying, hey, Scott, welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to have you on.
It's an honor. It really is. Adam, you have been a tremendous influence in my life, and Mission Matters is just, it's fantastic. I'm honored to be here.
Awesome. So we'll start this episode, Scott, as I know you're aware, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Scott, we amplify stories for business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. That's our mission. Scott, what mission matters to you?
My mission is to change the narrative of what it means to age. It's simple as that. We have grown to believe that aging is you retire, you start a garden, you go golfing, and you hit the grave. And there is so much more life that we have to live. And I'm afraid there are too many people who are dying long before they're buried. And so I changed the narrative of that.
It's a great mission and one that we're definitely aligned with. And I have a personal interest in helping promote too, because I just think it's needed. And one of the things that has always stuck out since we've known each other is that you are consistent. When I met you, you were the fourth quarter coach. Right. You're still the fourth quarter coach. You're helping a lot of people and you're finding new ways to help more people, to provide more value to the marketplace, and you're being rewarded. I mean, I see your brand has traction. You're getting more and more opportunities. You're launching more and more promotion, but it's based off of the work you're doing and the response. So it's awesome. This stuff doesn't happen by accident. Like, you have clarity, you have a mission, you have traction, and you're going after, and you stay in your lane. Like, you keep on building brick by brick. So it doesn't surprise me, as we are preparing for this, when you were telling me, you know, Adam, I got a book coming out with you, but I got another one coming up. And by the way, we're launching the platform and all these other things. I'm like, Right. This does not surprise me. But just to get us kicked off, I do not want to assume, Scott, that maybe some of our newer listeners caught, you know, your full backstory and some of the previous work we've done. Just to get us kicked off, high level, tell us a little bit more about your company and what you do.
Oh, sure. My company, Serving Strong Enterprises, began back in 2007, actually, as a part-time kind of gig on the side, as I was a COO and a CEO of our family business. And that really got ramped up shortly after I became a 50-year-old without a career. Everything was dropped. Everything I knew, everything I was used to was suddenly gone. And I was forced to think, what do I do now? And that was right smack in the middle of the third quarter. I was 50 years old. The third quarter is your 40s and 50s. So what I'm doing now is I am the partner that I wish I had had when I lost my job at 50. It was June of 2015. If I had had someone to walk with me through this experience and help identify what my strengths were, what I could leverage for a pivot and do something different, I would have saved a lot of time and money and expense. And that's what Serving Strong is all about. It's coming from a personal experience of loss, and it is redeeming that loss through helping others in their moments of awakening to mortality, their awakening, maybe everything they have built is built and it's not what they thought it would be. And so that's what we're doing. We are focusing on helping the third quarter individuals get ready, get prepared, and have a fantastic fourth quarter.
It's awesome. The process of developing what you've developed, and I mean like your process of going back and reassessing and kind of refining and figuring out, like, you didn't just say I'm the fourth quarter coach. Like, a lot of work, a lot of groundwork, and a lot of sweat went into developing your model. Tell us a little bit more about the construction and building your model time period.
Well, I was actually building and developing my model long before I even realized I would have a model.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a matter of reflecting on back on what I did. So a little context, I was a chief operating officer for our family business for about 24 years. And after a few years after 2008, we all know what that was like, our family business was still struggling. And the board of directors elected me as to become the CEO to reinvent our company because we had to do something different. And so I had this 3x5 whiteboard, 3-foot by 5-foot whiteboard in my office. And I would just stand in front of that thing and write formulas and thoughts and all sorts of flow charts and equations and until I would fill the whiteboard. And then I would step back, take a picture of it with my camera, and then wipe it off and fill it again. I must have filled dozens of whiteboards. And out of those whiteboards came a business model that we were beginning to really sink our teeth into. And it was looking promising. Unfortunately, cash flow, which is more than king in my world, it caught up with us. We had to close the business. So that threw me into you think of a hero's journey. Those of you who have watching might be familiar with that. I was in a cave and I was trying to figure out, you know, I was wrestling with these voices. Who am I? What's your identity? And these voices were saying, you're no good. You failed. You couldn't bring a company out from the ashes. And I wrestled with all of that. And over time, I began to realize that the experience as an operating officer and a CEO and whiteboards, I got to thinking, you know, there's something there. Those dozens of whiteboards turned into step one of a 5-step process that I take with my clients through, and that is download. Get everything out of your head, everything you can possibly do. And the more you do that, the more likely you see patterns and reoccurring themes and trends. And it was from those patterns and themes and trends that I developed that business model. Well, now that the business is not using the model anymore, I got to thinking there might be a way to turn this into a personal way of developing and learning from experiences. So that turned from download to discern. And let's make sense of what we've downloaded. And then let's design a path forward. And then let's do that design for a period of time. And then let's step back and dig. What did we learn? What do we know now that we didn't know when we started doing? And then it's a cycle. And so that's the process that was brought out of an experience of loss and intense process that I had to go through as a CEO.
What are some of the challenges that you find that many face in their fourth quarter? So obviously one of them that you mentioned, right? Like a pivot, right? A pivot could be one. Either they're, you know, they're moving jobs, lost a job. Obviously, we're just coming off the pandemic. So a lot of people changing like the way they look at things. But what are some of the things that people face or the challenges that people face in the fourth quarter?
Well, the reoccurring thing that I notice that comes up quite frequently is I don't know what's next for me. I don't, you know, all I have is this scenario that those older than me had shared with me, and unintentionally, it has given me very little hope. Now, the pandemic, that's an interesting twist because no one that I talk to wants to retire. The concept of retirement is carried over from an industrial age and it's attached to things like your retirement account, right? But as far as retirement, everybody I talk to says, I don't want to retire. I don't want to stop doing something. The problem that I see people running into is, although I don't want to retire, I don't know what not retiring looks like for me. And I know it has to be meaningful. The distinction between I've led a successful career, now I'm looking for something meaningful, which is really interesting to me. Success and meaning don't always mean the same thing to a lot of people. And they want to leverage this successful career or successful business that they've created, and they want to leverage it to do something. So I've just discovered, just like I did in my own life, that there are a bunch of ingredients that we all possess in our 40s and 50s. We have wisdom. We have successes and failures we've learned from. In most cases, equity is up. Debt is down. Our kids are out of the house. We have more time. These are all ingredients. And what's missing is the recipe. Mm-hmm. And so going into your fourth quarter with a recipe that mm-hmm. leverages all of these ingredients, my personal belief is, you know, I'm 58 or 57 as the recording of this live interview with you. I'm headed into what I believe are my best decades ever. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think a lot of people wrestle with. They just don't know how to take their life that they have lived up to this point mm-hmm. and turn it into another curve.
And what's interesting to me, first off, I love that you bring up the point about industrialization and the idea that this concept of retirement that maybe we've had over the last, let's call it whatever, couple of decades, really stems from industrialization and a model that doesn't exist anymore. Like, we're not all living off of pensions anymore, and we're not all, and necessarily, right? Most companies that you work for, period, aren't going to have a pension, and the system and the model has changed. So even that concept that maybe we've had in the past of retirement doesn't necessarily have to stay the same. What I find also interesting is maybe the concept of what you said is, you know, you're going into your, you know, your best years, right? Or most productive, however you value that, by the way, because so different people are going to value right. differently, as you mentioned. But what are some of the ways that you find through your coaching, through your platform and working with people, like what are the components of value that you find that people are bringing into this fourth quarter of their life? And because one thing that I'll throw out there is that it's not always the obvious, which is, okay, I sold my business, I have all this money, and now I need to figure out what to do next. Like, that's the fairy tale of it all. Or in some, for some people, that is what it ends up being, but there's other things and other ways to add value. So what are some of the things that you see people are bringing into this fourth quarter?
Well, it's a great question. In the life coaching world, there is a principle called the life wheel. And it's a number of different aspects of life. And you rate yourself on that wheel for mm-hmm. on each of the dimensions. They're all, you know, various coaches. Some have 12, some have 8, some have 4. I use 6. I have mm-hmm. 6, and I call them hallmarks of a fantastic fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And if you picture in your mind a star, in the very center of the star is being spiritually grounded, because that's where your meaning and your purpose and all of that stems from. Mm-hmm. Once that is grounded, you can have great satisfaction in all the other 5 areas. The top point of the star is being physically fit, because if you don't have your health, you can't do a whole lot else, right? Mm-hmm. So a physical fitness is good. And then the 2 points at the top of the star, one is being relationally rich mm-hmm. and emotionally healthy. So mm-hmm. those 2 kind of go together, because when we're dealing with people, we're dealing with emotions. So mm-hmm. if you've got a good, deep, short list of relationships, yeah. you are blessed. And if you're constantly working on your emotional intelligence and your self-awareness and others' awareness, that's very powerful. The bottom 2 points of the star are being vocationally aligned mm-hmm. and financially free. So mm-hmm. What I've found is financial freedom isn't always a high net worth. Mm-hmm. Financial freedom sometimes is just living within your means and having enough to have fun tipping 50% at the restaurant if you notice that your waiter or waitress is having a very difficult day. Financial freedom means a lot of things, a lot of dimensions, life insurance, health insurance, all these things. Vocational alignment is a unique one, because when I think of vocation, I don't necessarily mean what you do for pay. Mm-hmm. It can include what you do as a volunteer. So some clients will shift from being a successful business owner to a successful philanthropist, or they might, like one of my clients, will shift out of the business and into supporting their children who are starting their own business, and then pouring into them the wisdom and the guidance and the mentorship. That is vocational alignment. It's whatever you have, your talent and your treasure and your time and all of that, what you put that to is vocational alignment. So I use those 6. They're kind of a guide for assessing how strong you are. And it's in the part of, after we've downloaded everything, by discern and making sense of what we downloaded, we make sense by putting the download in light of these 6 hallmarks, which gives us a bearing, gives us something that we can make sense of and begin to design a path mm-hmm. forward. Because we may have everything, all the cylinders are firing except one. Hey, that's physical fitness. Well, that becomes then the beginning of the cycle. Mm-hmm. We're going to focus on our fitness, and we're going to work on that. And then mm-hmm. we're going to come back and say, what did we learn? What do we know now? And Let's look at the other systems. The other thing about these six systems is they're like the systems in our body. You have the respiratory system, the circulatory, and all the other systems, which function with their own purpose, but they are so interrelated that if one is suffering, the others are going to suffer as well. Or when you improve on one, you improve all the others. For example, if I can become more financially free, then I can be what I need to be to have a relational rich life because my emotional health is better. But if I'm constantly worried about all the debt that I have and all that sort of stuff, then I'm not going to be fully present in my relationship and I'm not going to be emotionally healthy in those relationships. So every one of those affects the other. So it's kind of a moving target, but we make sense and move forward.
Man, Scott, every time I have you on the show, I learn something. I do every single time. I love it. Like this is part of what, you know, why I do what I do. And part of my mission is because I know I'm learning from my guests and in particular yourself. Like I always learn something new. So Scott, if only there was a way in the universe for people to hear from you every week and for them to hear more of your knowledge and wisdom, if only there was a way, maybe there is. Serve Strong, Finish Strong podcast. Tell me more.
Oh man, that, you know, years ago I had a podcast and I did it all myself and it was so time consuming and I burned out. I'm not going to do this anymore. I don't know how we got connected, but you reached out and said, hey, we're doing this thing with podcasts. And so I jumped on it. What was it, July? I think I started my first podcast episode and it has been a wild ride. I have been able to interview some of the most exciting guests, and I'm getting a lot of good feedback on this podcast. A lot of people are finding that it is speaking to their where they're at in their 40s and 50s. It really is. And that's what every conversation I have on the podcast is for. It's for the person in their 40s and 50s who is awakening to something that is in their life that they're missing. It's hard to describe. I just use the word awakening. They're awakening to something bigger. I love having guests on there who are talking about, all right, if it's financial, here's some stuff you want to be talking about and thinking about, and here's some resources. Largely, every podcast fits into one of those six hallmarks. And so it's easy to follow the podcast that way. And I'm having a ball. I've got probably four or five guest interviews recorded, ready to go. And it's just, it's one of the funnest things I get to do is to talk with people about their passion and how it can help 40 and 50 year olds.
I love it. And I love hearing it. And I'll tell you, the original vision when we launched the Mission Matters Podcast Network was essentially, you know, we've been blessed to be able to, you know, grow our shows and have a platform and create an outlet. And we've been very much supported by the business community, whether it was through advertising, sponsorship, a ton of different ways. So people have really rallied behind the Mission Matters mission overall. And it was like, you know, can we bring on other hosts and can we, you know, have them be brand aligned, obviously, create great content and distribute that content? And would the market, you know, would it be validated? Would people listen? As of this moment, the recording, you are our top show in terms of downloads from our initial launch. And I'll tell you, it's just, you just validated it. I mean, you, a bunch of the other hosts are having great success too, but you're at the top of the heap at the moment. Not saying that your spot is secure, but you were part of the validation of that because you proved that, you know, that others want to hear other voices on the Mission Matters platform. We didn't know. Maybe people just would only want to listen to our show. And I'm like, I'm not claiming that I was the best. I am the best podcaster or talent, any of that. That's not what this is about. This is just about, would people listen? And you proved that people would listen. I mean, not only would they listen, but they listen enough quantity to keep the business model going so that we could offer the opportunity to others. And that's just amazing. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. But then the interesting part is now what happens is based off the result of your effort and all of our podcast hosts, it will continue to grow and we'll continue to provide that, you know, that opportunity to other hosts that are, that, you know, kind of meet what we're looking for in terms of content. but mm-hmm. I'm just thrilled by the success of it. Like you said, you just started and it's already been a big hit and far exceeded my expectations. And a lot of it has to do, in my opinion, with the care that you put into your content and the thought behind it. So I'm going to ask you probably a slightly different question than we normally talk about. But since I know there's a lot of people out there that have podcasts or are thinking about launching podcasts or things like that, just tell us a little bit more about your creative process and what goes into making your episodes. And I mean from as a talent, as a host, not like editing and stuff like that or what we do. I mean on your personal process.
The whole process has been, first of all, a shout out to Mission Matters Podcast Network. Yeah. I mean, later today, I have a call scheduled with another host and we're just going to talk with one another. Yeah. So the community of hosts is fantastic. Mm-hmm. The support that you create is great. Creative process, you know, I am always looking at basically four questions I ask myself almost every day. What is my story? And with embedded in that story, what's the spark that caused me to do what I'm doing right now for a living? That's the first thing. And I know my story, but if I keep asking myself, what's that story? I refine it. I think about it. I reflect on it. The second question is, what is the problem that I solve? And I'm always constantly thinking that forces me to think get into the mind of a 40 and 50 year old. Mm-hmm. And I've got my own personal experience, but it also helps me to listen. When I'm talking with 40 and 50 year olds, whether I'm serving them and they're not a client or whether they are a client, I am listening for their experience. And so I'm asking myself, what is the problem that I solve? The third question is, what are the outcomes that I produce as a result of solving that problem? And those are more emotional, esoteric, experiential things like greater sleep, less stress, greater confidence, a sense of control, and all of that sense of agency. And then the fourth question is, how do I do what I do? So I'm always thinking about what is my methodology and is that methodology the best that it can be for my clients? All of that goes into when I sit down and I think about who would be a great guest. And when I come across, it's one of those things where, you know, when my wife was pregnant, I started noticing all the diaper commercials, right? Mm. it's not a coincidence, not because just because we found out we were having a baby that diaper commercials turn. It's because of what happened within me. I started noticing things because that was my focus. Mm-hmm. That was the emotional drive that I was involved in. Same is true with asking myself these four questions. Mm-hmm. I get in the mode of noticing in a very natural conversation with somebody saying, this is somebody who could speak to the 40 and 50 year olds on the podcast. And that then, if they say, yes, I'll be a podcast guest, then that will fuel the questions that I ask.
Yeah.
And point that we want to get across. I always ask, what are the three questions that I want to ask this guest? And what is the main takeaway from this guest that I want to get across? And then how does that fit into the overall six hallmarks? So that has become my creative process.
Oh, it's great. And for everybody that is listening to this, play it back and take notes, because Scott just taught his own masterclass on what it looks like to grow a show, because that process is leading to a very successful show in the network. And I'm not saying duplicate it, but figure out where some of those tips that Scott just gave you work into your own creative process if you're a podcaster or aspiring podcaster out there. Scott, I want to jump around a little bit here. So this next question is, I want to talk about the book that we have that we're launching together, but we're going to keep it surface level for the audience. Just so you know, the reason why we're keeping it surface level is because Scott will be coming back on the show and we'll bring him back and we'll do a deep dive after the book is live. So don't worry about that. You'll get more of Scott, but high level, Scott, tell us a little bit more about some of the ideas you plan to propose in the upcoming book.
Well, I take you through the journey a bit of what I went through and how that translates to the five steps that, or I always wrestle with the word step, because it's like, it's not one of those things where, okay, you're done with that, move on to the next one. You're
never done.
it's an iterative process, because moving from your third to your fourth quarter is highly iterative. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a circle process. And then you ask, what do I learn and how can we leverage that? And then you go to another circle. And sometimes the circles lead you lower. Yeah. Because I've had clients go through a cycle and they go to the dig, which is the fifth element, and they have uncovered some new learning. And it on the surface, it seems like they've been set back. So they have to rethink things, but it's much richer. It's almost like one of the worst times you can get out of the stock market is when it's going down, because you're buying things at a lower price and it's going to go up. So you stay in it for the long haul and you will benefit. So I always point out to my prospects and to my clients, step back, take a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average graph from 1900 to today, and you will see a lot of ups and downs. But what you will notice is the macro trend is always up. And if you take this approach, you will eventually be becoming the fullest expression of your unique God-given design as you move into your fourth quarter. I talk a little bit about that in the book.
I'll cut it there. And I have 50 questions I want to ask, but no, everybody watching or listening to this, we'll be bringing Scott back. Don't worry. Hit the subscribe button. You're not going to miss Scott. So we'll bring him back. Jumping around here, the platform that you're launching, I'm so excited. I'll just quick background. So when I think about like, okay, mission matters. Okay. So we started as a podcast and a book publishing company, which we still are. That's still our roots and what we do. But as we got further and further into the platform concept, and the idea of how can you become of value to more people? I mean, for us, that's when things just exploded. That's when, and what I mean by exploded is the amount of value that we were able to put out into the marketplace. We were just able to help more people. Yes. And how do we help people? By getting this knowledge out there, by bringing someone like Scott on the show to teach us all, myself included, because I'm an active learner as well. So the platform, tell us a little bit more about how the idea was maybe germinated and the plans for it overall.
It germinated. Very easy to answer. It germinated from the fact that, look, I got looking at my fourth quarter and my mortality. And I got to thinking, do I want to be a coach of a few clients and then die and have improved the lives of a few clients? Or do I want to set up something that will perpetually continue after I'm gone? Because those who are 20 and 30 in their 20s and 30s are going to hit this awakening at some point. And I want to have something that they can plug into when they hit that point. So this platform, I'm really excited about. It's you could call it a legacy project. This platform is designed to be a group coaching mechanism. It's a platform where you can join at no cost, and that puts you in touch with the vast library of and growing library of information, again, based on the six hallmarks. But you have the option to go into a circle, which is up to eight people who are, each of them come from total different walks of life. And you can get feedback and feed forward from people from, like, I might be a business executive trying to sell my company, getting input from a truck driver, getting input from a housewife, from different perspectives. And they will bring up things that I will never have thought of. Because I'm in the executive world, you know, I'm in mergers and acquisitions and all that. And yet here's a truck driver and a housewife giving me their advice. That is so powerful. We are currently in soft launch mode right now, and I have a beta group. And that beta group is, I had an idea that this would be helpful, but it's wildly more impactful than I ever dreamed. We plan on formally launching this in January of 2023. And we're going to coordinate it with the book that I'm writing with you, another book that I'm writing, and we're really going to power this up. And my goal is that when I'm in my, let's say, 65 to 70 years old, I will step back to a chairman of the board role, and there will be community coaches who each are overseeing the lives of 28 people in three groups of eight, and they will own the platform so that when I'm gone, they will continue to generate more clients and more coaches. And I'm so excited about this because I know it's going to outlast me.
It's an amazing concept, an amazing story. And like one of the ways that I like to think about, especially for people that may watch this and they're grappling on, does it make sense to create a platform or not? Because there's pros and cons to both sides. So in Scott's case, and I'll use myself as an example because I won't speak for Scott, but I like to think about like how my mother helped people. Like she worked people. She was, you know, from the, and I just use this as an example, maybe from the bottom up. Like she worked with people day to day, one-on-one as a social worker in the community, working with with at-risk youth. Like that was her calling and she worked it day in and day out. Like that was her calling. On my end, you know, I could maybe work with people like on media training or showing them one-on-one how to do certain things. And I just feel that my calling's slightly different and that I have more of an opportunity to help more people from the top down. And in that case, where my heart was has always been, it's like, how many people can I help? Obviously, I'd love to help people one-on-one, but there's not always the bandwidth to do that, right? You can only have so many conversations in a day. And trust me, I know because I've maxed out that calendar. So that's the way it works. So not saying that one way versus the other or better or worse, it's just what your calling is and what your heart is kind of. And I just say that for context for anybody that's out there considering, should they be exploring building a platform or should they be working one-on-one? Because building the platform it's got its own headaches and problems on the back end as well. So I wouldn't glorify one versus the other. I would just say whatever your calling is, like that's where you want to go with it. But I love, Scott, that you know your calling happens to be to help as many people as possible. And then you also have already included legacy, which I think there's a big kind of lesson there that I like to maybe pull out a little, because I feel as business owners and entrepreneurs, when we think legacy, obviously during our lifetimes, we're looking at how do we add value, and maybe in our models while we're building our companies, we think about how to add value in perpetuity. Right. And it doesn't have to mean just, you know, philanthropic and giving your money away, which that's right. Okay if that's your route. But there's also a way to add value and to continue to generate over and above giving, you know, just giving your money away, which both work like in any variation way, because obviously those, you know, donations and things like that, very necessary, and philanthropy is very necessary. But I just love to kind of draw that out a little bit because you're thinking of it from not just right now. So if you're in your second or third quarter out there, start thinking about the fourth quarter early, even though you might not be, which brings me to my next question, Scott.
Yeah, sure.
Even though you may not be the age group possibly to join platform, give us some details on parameters and what you're looking for and maybe who is a good fit to be part of the community.
Well, you think of a bell curve, you know, the very top of the bell curve. The majority of the people who will benefit the most over a period of time are people in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, that's where the midlife crisis tends to take place. But I will say that there's a 30-year-old in that beta group that I mentioned. I have a client who I'm working with who is 68 years old. Mm-hmm. We're currently working on her 4-year plan because she wants to sell her business when she's 71. I'm in conversations with a 69-year-old or 70-year-old now who is opening a coffee shop in 2024. it's all over the map. Here's the thing. The awakening, sometimes there are early bloomers and there are late bloomers. There are some people who awaken to it through life experiences, life circumstances. They don't waken until they're 65.
Yeah.
Some are, you know, through life experiences. Maybe something tragic happened in their mid-30s. And it kind of just pushed them into this thinking about mortality, and they want to grab a hold of that, then this would be good for them as well. I do need to tell you too, this legacy project, as I referred to it, it's not something I thought through and said, how can I create something that would outlast me? And I didn't whiteboard and brainstorm. This is the sort of thing that, because I was working with 40 and 50 year olds, it just began to bubble up.
Yeah.
And there's some things you know, when you're talking about legacy and all, you can't design a legacy very effectively. What you can do is pursue a fantastic fourth quarter and legacy begins to appear.
Yeah.
And so if that means working one-on-one with people or developing a platform, it's going to be different for everybody, but you can't force it.
Well, Scott, first off, it's been great having you back on the show. I can't wait till the next time we get to work with each other to start promoting this book that we have coming out. And then also to talk about this other book you're launching afterwards. We're going to go deeper into the platform. Obviously, you'll be further along next time you're back on the show, and excited to give more updates on the podcast, of course. Sure. Just have to ask, got a lot going on. What's next? What's next for you? What's next for the company?
I'm going to be pretty consumed with finishing up this book, going to be pretty consumed with launching the platform called The Community. I don't know. We'll see what's next. Yeah. Just continuing to serve. That's what I'm all about. I've come through the process of trying to clients to coach with me. Just doesn't fit. It's not alignment. I talk about vocational misalignment. I have committed to serving people. Because I know it's in the life of service that a business model emerges. And there's more than enough business to be done.
If somebody wants to follow up and learn more and connect with you and your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can find me on servingstrong.com. Pretty simple. I'm on LinkedIn. That's where I hang out. So if you want to look for my name on LinkedIn, I'm right there. That, you know, if you want to email with any questions, or you want to just have a conversation, go to coach@servingstrong.com.
Wonderful. And we'll put all that information in the show notes so that the viewers can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the viewers, if this is your first time listening to or viewing a Mission Matters episode or engaging with the platform, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, their expertise, you know, what they've learned along the way, and really how we can all learn and benefit from that information together so we all grow. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or exciting or fun to you, hit that subscribe button, because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. Scott, again, thrilled about your success and can't wait till the next time.
Well, thank you very much, Adam. It's been a pleasure to talk with you again.